This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, on the sad week. And I do want to just quickly mention, we should not forget the military serving around the world. We've had sad losses of people in the forces this week, and I don't want that to get missed out, because I'm quite upset that the news has just kind of like forgotten what's happening in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. So just think on for those people as well. Before the break, we were talking and listening to Margaret Thatcher, seeing what you said, and I just thought it might be more fun, because Lee and I started chatting when I was in the office, and our brains actually did start to work, boys and girls. I know this is a shock to the system, but it did happen. And we started to remember things, which was really weird for two people like us. But first off, Rachel, what's it been like down in Australia in terms of the reporting of Lady Thatcher's death?
We have mostly been absolutely appalled and disgusted by this popping of champagne and chanting and placards and all this sort of rubbish going on. Mm. We've been really, really appalled by that. I was young when the Falklands happened. It was 1980. I was nine. Mm. But it was really, really big news, and I recall it very well. I think she was really decisive, and she knew what she was doing, in so much as she had a goal and she went for it, and she was very honest. And we have paid her the greatest of respect. There's been tributes on our news programs that have been going on for 20, 30 minutes, which is unheard of, because she was such a huge force. And, of course, she was a good friend to us as well, because we're such strong allies. She was a good friend to us as well. But we've been appalled by the treatment that she's been getting. And the thing that's echoed most strongly, and particularly with myself, is she's got children that are still alive and family that are still alive who are mourning her death. Mm. And to see that rubbish going on is just the most atrocious, really awful, awful display of ignorance. And it's mostly people that weren't alive when she was Prime Minister anyway. But she did a lot of decisive things. You know, she went into the Falklands. She did all of that. She cut down, you know, illegal immigration. She did all these, you know, really, really huge. She took on the IRA. She did heaps of great stuff. Mm. But no, and people aren't remembering her for this stuff. These dolts who are out there, you know, who pops champagne when a leader dies? I mean, okay, if she was Osama bin Laden, fine. If she was Saddam Hussein, fine. If she was Pol Pot, fine. If she was Idi Amin, fine. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on, and I am by the sounds. But she wasn't. She wasn't an evil dictator. She was a prime minister, and she was elected by the people who are dissing her now. And it makes me sick to my stomach the way people are carrying on at the moment. But we thought she was, you know, a bit scary, because she was, you know, a force to be reckoned with. But still, she held her own. She was the first female prime minister. She was the first woman in parliament. Good on her. She had a great legacy. And leave her alone. Let her rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Back to your hippie boxes and go and have a shower, for the love of God.
I totally agree with that one. Yes, I did actually comment to one person that was on Facebook. I was debating it with, and I equally find it funny, because the Slovak news has equally been appalled by the way in which the so-called parties have been, you know, reported. And I'll tell you why it's different here. The respect that is paid to people here is just different. And I have to say, it's much better. It sounds like it's very Australian. Where, for example, if I translate this, All Souls Day, or All Saints Day as it is in England and various other parts of the world, if it is that falls on a weekday in Slovakia, it's a national day. And the national day is because you tend the graves, you look after the graveyards. If there's somebody in there that's nothing to do with your family, you'll tidy that up as well. And you know, when you drive around here at night, all you can see is candles burning in the graveyards.
Japanese do the same thing, actually. They have the exact same tradition.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And they respect the dead. They do not celebrate the passing of a person. You know, it's just not that way inclined. And I have to say, a lot of people that I've spoken to, they said, oh, you're English. Why are they doing it? And I go, I don't know. That's why I left.
There is an explanation why they're doing it, in a way, but it is not a very good explanation. Prime ministers and politicians generally, one of the ways which Britain controls them is lampoonery and turning them into a joke. And even at the deaths, this happened to all sorts of politicians throughout history, that their funerals have been treated to this kind of lampoonery. What's happened here with Thatcher is that it's become so unbelievably and uncalled for vicious. People are even lampooning the fact that she died in the Ritz. If she could afford to live in the Ritz in the last days of her life, that's fine by me. Then the problem is...
Yeah, but Lee, let me just interrupt a second. The wages that she got from the state wouldn't have paid for that.
Absolutely not.
Right. No. It was actually her business-brained husband that made so much money that he looked after her welfare after he had gone. Yeah. Now, I think that's a very admirable thing to do.
I think it is. I think it is. But this is part of the whole misconception about Margaret Thatcher. You know, I've been reading stuff for days about it. And, you know, people are saying that she sold off North Sea oil. Well, she didn't actually sell off North Sea.
No, she didn't.
That's a misconception. Mm. And the clue is in the fact that we still own North Sea oil and North Sea gas. There's the clue, ladies and gentlemen, to all the people who are saying that old woman sold it off. She didn't.
Well, and it's the same argument, Lee, as people saying, why does she have to have a funeral like this? Hang on. Did not Winston Churchill have exactly the same?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't she a baroness, for goodness sakes?
Well, that doesn't really count, but she's got a funeral with military honours, which we do in the UK bestow upon certain people. And if it is that those people are at that level, I mean, Princess Diana's funeral was a military honours funeral, and she's entitled to it. Why not? And, you know, look, hang on a minute. We should be proud of people that achieve things in the UK, whether you like the politics or not. Surely we should be slightly more American and praise people for doing stuff and believing in what they're saying. Whereas,
I mean, nobody cared for Reagan very much, you know, when in his later years. But look at the honour they bestowed on him when he died.
Exactly.
You know, the people, you know, they got the horse with the boots on backwards and all that sort of stuff. And you know, they paid him the respect he was due
because he worked for the country.
And there's no reason why. Exactly. And she did the same. And there's no reason why they shouldn't do it.
Right. Okay.
It's also the fact that you know. You mentioned Hollywood. Well, look at the funerals that Hollywood stars get. Look at all the coverage that people. Why Margaret Thatcher? We have talked now since the day of her death. It's been on the front page of every newspaper. It's the main topic on all the news programs. This woman was an incredibly important woman within the history of the world, not just of the UK.
Yes.
Mm. And why shouldn't she be treated in that way with the respect?
Yes, can I just put poignant comment to where you are now, Lee? A couple of years ago, Lee and I had the honour of being here when Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip came to Poprad.
That's right.
And one of the things that Her Majesty did when she was here was put a special plaque up just the other side of Bratislava to say that's where the Iron Curtain was. It is now down. And the Iron Curtain came down because Mikhail Gorbachev and Margaret Thatcher talked to each other. And, you know, the crazy thing is now, look at the countries that the UK is doing business with in the EU. A country I live in, for goodness sake, was behind the Iron Curtain. Now, it's a trade...
Never would have happened without her. No, never would have happened without
now
her.
Now it's a trading partner with the UK. And whichever way you want to look at it, somebody made that happen, and I have to say, I think it was that lady that made it happen.
I agree.
She wanted us to become a trading nation. Our major industries, like the utilities and things like that, and all the big industries, the steel industry, the mining industry, were all failing, and there was one common denominator within this failure, and that was the mafia of the trade unions in Britain at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're like that now, but at that time, they were operating like Tony Soprano ran them.
Well,
it
yeah.
was that bad. It well, was that bad. And she actually took that on and turned us into a trading nation. If you've got a business that's failing, do something else that will bolster it up. And that's what she did.
Exactly. Well, we'll have a couple of... we're going to go back in time, Lee and I, now, to the sort of 70s and 80s, which was difficult for us at our age. But and Lee's been actually purposely talking to people in the north of the UK for us, and we'll share some of those stories in a minute. But it was really funny because people started talking about the three-day week. And then I thought to myself, hang on, I was involved in that.
But, so was I.
But I had a special little ticket with me because factories and offices and places around the UK had to turn their lights and electric off on the three-day week. You were not allowed to operate. But, of course, I worked for British Telecom, which meant that I was exempt from all of this stuff. So if I went to, say, your office, Rachel, and you were on the 2 days when you couldn't work, and I wanted to work there, I could turn the electric on.
Oh.
So it was funny how I became ever so popular all of a sudden.
I was going to say, all the cold drinks in the fridge would have been all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the sandwiches wouldn't have gone off. It would have been great.
I do have to say here, Rachel, that was the only time in his life that he can honestly say, Rachel, he could have turned you on.
Very good.
You don't know me very well.
No, exactly. And the other fun thing I remember back from those days was, and I vividly remember this, because my father had his own chair in the house, and it was Dad's chair. And I remember sitting there one night, and I'm going, it's nearly 10 o'clock. The televisions are going to go off because it's the three-day week. And I was very happy about this, Rach, because it meant that I could turn the radio on.
And sit in the chair.
And so I'm sitting in Dad's chair. I've got my hand ready to go on the radio, having come back from the pub. And, the minute the televisions went off, and all the channels went off at 10 o'clock at night. And so I frantically turned Capital on, which I could get with the big aerial I'd created in the back garden because we were out of the range of it, and I could listen to pop music on the radio. It was wonderful rather than listening to that boring stuff that was on the telly. So I actually enjoyed myself partially. One, I was flavour of the month, and B, I didn't have to watch the telly too much. I could listen to proper radio. Lee, what was it like in the north then, Lee?
In my case, it was a fascinating time. I was a very, very young journalist. I was like about 4 years old. And
pardon?
I was about 4 years old.
Pardon?
I was very young. I was just very young, Eric, please.
Were you four in dog years? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
I know
you covered politics, Lee, but please don't become a spin doctor.
Listen, anyway, right, it was a fascinating time to be in the job I was in. I was in the period where I was moving from regional newspapers into national newspapers. Mm-hmm. And it was really, I have to thank Maggie Thatcher for doing what she did, because it put me on the road to stardom and fame and riches through the coverage of things. But in looking at it in a different way, it was horrendous, because what I was covering then were constant strikes. People losing the home, the blackouts, the rubbish being piled up in the street, the three-day week, like you say, all these things, the selling off of the utility. It was an horrendous time. But actually, if you looked at it differently, somebody had realised that particularly in the north, something had to be done to rescue it. And the devastation of the industries and the pressure to start up your own businesses and to look at ways of looking after yourself was what horrified the nation that had become used to the fact that if you went on strike, you got a pay rise. If you couldn't be bothered with working, you got looked after by the benefit system. And all that kind of, there was social housing and council housing and things like that. Maggie Thatcher sold it all off. And that was viewed as horrendous. And in the north, it did cause a lot of problems, particularly the miners. There are still miners' communities in the north which are devastated from 40 years ago. They're still devastated. Mm. But what she was doing was trying to rescue a nation which was eating itself alive through riots and through Matthew.
But it was on the verge of going bankrupt, wasn't it?
Of course it was. And what do you do? What do you do? If you were personally going bankrupt, and this was a personal bankruptcy for the Prime Minister, she was the head of that family, of that government, of that country, it was her personal failure if she couldn't do anything about it. What do? You make it work. And sometimes making things work causes a lot of hardship. Mm. Certainly, Maggie Thatcher caused hardship. But as everybody says who has any kind of intelligence, she did it honestly and out of the good, out of something that she believed in would ultimately create good. She made horrendous mistakes, like particularly the poll tax. And again, in the north, the poll tax was a ludicrous thing. The prices of houses was depressed, and you were losing jobs because of the things that were going on. And all of a sudden, you had to what was called your rates, wasn't it? The rates you were paying out suddenly trebled and quadrupled. So the people who could barely get by because of what had happened to industry and to the miners, all the other things, all of a sudden were crippled by massive bills. But we all had to suffer. What amazes me, here's one. I was talking to somebody who remained nameless. We'll just call her Dory. And this is what she said. And I think this is very telling. She hates Margaret Thatcher to this day, has hated her all her life. For the last 40 years, she despises what Margaret Thatcher did and stood for. But this is what she says. I lived through the Thatcher era as someone with a few bob who benefited from the high rates of interest she created. The sufferers were the ones needing a mortgage. Well, yeah, I understand that. Mm. I understand that. I understand exactly what you're saying. But ultimately, within a couple of years, Dory, of what happened through Thatcher, Britain was flying. It was financially one of the most secure nations in the world. Everybody suddenly could afford houses and get mortgages.
Yeah, do you know the other funny thing on the finance side, Lee?
One.
If you wanted to go and work in the City of London, and I'm not sure what it's like in Sydney or... Where is the city's the sort of finance centre in Australia, Rach?
Sydney,
right. Mm. And I don't know what it's like in Sydney. But in the old days of England... in London, the only way you'd get a job, if you talked to one of the old boys in the club with the right tie on, and if you had the right tie on, get the right tie on, then of course, yes, one would find one's boy a little post in there, and he could work his way up from doing the tea in post, and one day he would become a banker. And
you
she
have to be called William Farrington Smythe.
Yes. And she wrecked that old boy system. Totally.
Of course she did.
She killed it. Yeah. Stone dead. So,
and did it work?
Yes.
Did it work? Of course it worked. And what happened was that governments after that didn't bother to keep an eye on what was happening because all the money was coming in. It wasn't Maggie Thatcher's fault that the square mile in London went corrupt. It wasn't her fault. It was the fact that subsequent governments didn't keep an eye on them because there was too much money coming in.
Funny that. And it's still one of the biggest earners to the UK even today.
Absolutely.
You know, I just had a thought, and I don't have them very often, so I will express it now.
We'll wait with this.
Our Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, is a nightmare and has made some terrible, terrible decisions, and she is just awful, and she's going to lose the next election. However, if she died, this wouldn't happen, but her father passed away last year, and a journalist who was a very highly respected journalist came out at one of the opposition dinners and said that her father died of shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was vilified by the entire press. So this would not happen in this country. Mm. This would never happen. Even though she's a nightmare and has done basically nothing good, to say her father died of shame because of the job she's doing, and he's been buried, and we haven't heard from him since, and rightly so, because it's just disgusting. That's
well, the other thing that we find disgusting, Rach, is there's an online campaign around a song called Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, which is currently in the so-called charts, and I'm not totally sure of this, and I haven't checked it out, but allegedly the BBC are still going to play this because they have to play it because it's in the charts.
Yeah, well, there you have it. There you have it. That again, is... You see, when we're talking about the shame of Britain being the, like Rachel says, the pseudo-hippies who de-score and have a bath, which is exactly what was being said in the 80s and the 70s in the Thatcher era about people like that. It's not only them who are insulting this woman who's just died and who made such an impression on the world. It's the BBC too.
Right, but hang on. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo. The BBC...
What?
Am I right in saying the claim from people is the BBC have said they've got to play this track because it's in the charts?
What's been said, and it was Paul Gambaccini, for ladies and gentlemen who don't know who he is, he's a very well-known and very influential DJ at the BBC and presenter. What he said, and I can understand what he's saying, because I believe in freedom of speech and freedom of expression and the right to publish and damn. What he said is that because the official midweek charts are the news presenting thing of the music industry, then the BBC has to publish it.
Really?
Has to say that it's at number one. Has to play. But it doesn't mean they've got to play it.
Excuse me. I can tell you in history, I Spy for the DTI, track that charted, was not played by the BBC.
I rest my case with your statement.
And I will further to that, I will do this in the best broadcasting voice I have available to me. There was a song that had a certain name, but on the BBC chart, it was called I'm a Winker. It was by a group called Ivor Biggin. And for some strange reason, they changed the title of the song in the chart rundown, but they never played it.
Absolutely. What about Fatty Bum Bum? How offensive can you be?
Well,
why was that?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I got some late breaking news here. As well as rising up the official charts, the track, which cost 79p online, is currently number one on iTunes. The BBC is planning to play the song on Wednesday, but they've just confirmed a decision has not been made as to whether they're going to play it or not.
Right. Well, I hope they don't.
Why should they play it? I hope they don't. I think the BBC with the rest of Britain would have to should hang its head in shame.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong in saying that it's number one in the charts. There is a political reason behind that. There is a news story about the feelings of Britain and exactly why this happened. This is a song from The Wizard of Oz. An iconic song, which, again, even the
song... It's been hijacked.
It's been hijacked and it is being insulted. I think this is
terrible.
It's
been hijacked for political purposes and it's disgusting.
Exactly.
So much is disgusting about this whole story. I just want to puke.
Well, anyway, let's carry on to another topic as we get running through rather quickly. We'll do a couple of stories. And this is the story of the unelected leader of Korea, dancing a death of Gangnam style, we think. The state TV in North Korea, which I was able to access, I won't tell you how, still seems to be using mushroom management, as it's colloquially known, to the people there. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. This is a communist state. Now, surely people who are best versed in knowledge of communist states would be Slovakia, because they had to live with it for such a long time. And I went out and spoke to a couple of people, and I said, look, what do you think of this Kim Jong-un? And you don't need to translate this, you can get it. Because in Slovak, one man said he was a maniac idiot. Mm-hmm. Now, that really translates well. And another one was, and we in Slovakia, they do use the B word to say you are of suspect parentage.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them said he was a B-word person. Now, when you get people who've lived in it saying that of somebody like Kim Jong-un, who is only doing this to actually further his position or strengthen his position in a country that he's dominating as a dictatorship I find this totally out of order.
Well, he's, I mean, he's got... Dennis Rodman was his ambassador, for crying out loud. I mean, the man's got more metal in his face than somebody with a lot of metal in their face.
he's a little fat rich boy who has made good by dint of who his parents are. And, well, and
isn't,
the problem
isn't his uncle in his ear a lot? Because isn't his uncle really high up in this army of dictators, and his uncle's right in his ear the whole time?
Well, that's right. That's right. The whole thing is nepotistic, but very often as things like this are. But what he's doing, and I think he's totally misguided, unlike a missile, is he is about to, he is trying to bring the Western world to its knees. And the threat idiot that he is making
the world that gave him an education.
Yeah, exactly. But the threat that he's making will also will have a devastating effect on China, right? Mm. And which will ultimately affect America, ultimately affect us. And I don't think that he owns that. I really don't think this is just a child, the Gangnam style leader, dictator of this place, is actually just dancing like a maniac and posturing and saying like a child, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Very quickly, right, because we've got a minute left. How's it reported down in Australia?
Oh, same. It's on the telly all over the place. Just that, you know, we get a lot of the American stuff saying, don't worry, don't worry. It's a missile of, you know, no consequence, blah, blah, blah. But from what we can gather from the reports we're getting is that he does indeed have, if something goes bad, he'll have China by the chopsticks.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that does worry me a little bit. But anyway, all I can say to all the G8s and everybody else and all the other intergovernmental things, turn the screws.
Yep.
Turn the screws.
And do it Gangnam style.
Absolutely. Because that way around, eventually, the poor, the dying kids in North Korea, their families will raise up and they will rise up. There will be another Velvet Revolution out there. So, Mr. Yep. Kim Jong-un, I'd plough a load of money into a bank a bit quick, mate, and buy yourself an island somewhere before you get chucked out.
Pull down the bamboo curtain.
Absolutely. That's it for another week of Postcard from Pop Brand. We'll be back to normal probably next week. Maybe not.
Will we?
No.
Might not be.
Liar.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, I know. Pants on fire. We can't be normal. It's not the style of the programme. Time to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Oh, I hope the pussycat gets better.
Oh.
Yeah, she'll be all right. She got lots of TLC.
Good. And good night, goodbye, and good evening from Lee.
Who has a lot of TCP. Bye-bye.
From me, Eric Wiltshire. And we'll see you again, same place next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is RTI, Radio Tatras International.